Speak Sport, the podcast for women fluent in sport. Today, I'm joined by the awesome Romandi Potgieter, all the way out from Pretoria, which is lovely because she's enjoying some nice, warm, dry weather. And here out in Cape Town, we are having a little bit of a storm, but Romandi and I are going to be warming things up today with our conversation. And so, Romandi, before I introduce you to everybody who might not need to be introduced to you because I'm sure a lot of people already know who you are, I want to welcome you to the show and hope that you've been doing super, super well at the moment. So thank you so much for being here with me today.
Oh, thank you for having me, Lauren. I've been watching all your social media movements and I've really been looking forward to have a good chat with you.
No, thank you. I've been watching yours and you seem like you were overseas for a while. Is that right? You know, I never know if people are posting in real time about their lives. So if this is something they did like, you know, maybe like a month ago. Were you overseas? Were you enjoying yourself, in some summer weather?
Yes, it was a quite spontaneous little break. We had a bye week and then, it just happened to fall into good planning. So I was in Amsterdam for about 10 days and I got to see Taylor Swift perform. And just had amazing weather in Amsterdam as well, which I also heard is a rare sighting. So that is also so amazing. But just a quick break and just a bit of rest.
That is so cool. That is really amazing. It really looked like you were having a good time. Now, I must ask you before we go on, because we might have some Swifties joining us. How was it to see Taylor Swift perform live? And a lot of people have said to me that that's one of the things that they actually really want to do because her stage performance and like everything is just so phenomenal. How did you find it?
No, it's easily the best thing that's ever happened to me. I've been the biggest Swiftie for forever. And then when this tour came around, I was like waiting for her to come to South Africa. And as dates came out and I saw she's not even close to South Africa, my sister surprised me with a ticket actually. And then we just made things work. But it was the absolute best thing that's ever happened to me. I said to Libby, I said, because she knows how big a Swiftie I am. Mm. And I kind of forced her into it, but she hasn't budged yet. But I said to her, I think the only thing that will ever beat this moment of watching Taylor Swift will be if we win a World Cup. That's the only thing that'll beat watching Taylor Swift live, if that gives you any reference.
I was just about to say, it's probably going to be winning the World Cup will top this moment. And then you said it. I think Libby and I are the same because I haven't jumped on the Swiftie board yet. And I will be honest and say that I haven't heard a single one of her songs except the one that was in that movie Letters to Juliet, which she sings at the end, which is a really cool song at the end. I didn't know it was Taylor Swift actually, but yeah, so I haven't, but I have a lot of like love for everybody that's a Swiftie fan. And for her to put on such a stage performance and to do it like night after night, different countries, just speaks to her talent and also her commitment and her hard work to what she does. And I suppose that's also something that you connect with as well. That, I mean, as a professional athlete that represents your country, you have to put in hard work. So it's kind of like, although it's a little bit different, I guess it's kind of like it's similar in that way. And I really admire people who do that because it so speaks to the character of the person. And so that's really cool. I'm just so stoked for you that you got to have that moment. And so now you're going to wait to maybe go and see her somewhere else. And then that'll top off what just happened in Amsterdam.
No, absolutely. And listen, Lauren, we'll have a different call where I can most probably convert you into a Swiftie because no, I think she's amazing. I think she's an athlete in her own right. I mean, her performance was 3.5 hours where we didn't see her maybe for 30 seconds here and there when she did outfit changes. So she performed for 3.5 hours. Wow. And I'm struggling to play 80 minutes straight. So I think she's an athlete in her own. And she also, she's such a powerful woman. And in a way, I connect to that because she's in a very male-dominant profession, and it's okay if they do some things, but she can't do the same things. And she really, she speaks out about it, and she just owns her power. And I think a lot of us can take that from her, whether it's from sport or for life. Like I really, really enjoy that and admire that a lot about her.
I agree with you so, so much. And I I remember, I mean, I've seen also interviews with her where they ask her, like, why do you sing so much about like relationships and stuff like that, you know? And then she says, like, well, there are male artists doing the exact same thing, but no one asks them the question, you know, why are you writing about your ex, or why are you writing about something? You know, Bruno Mars can do it, but now when I do it, I'm called out about it. And I remember reading something just recently that came out in some newspaper, and I was certain that they were just trying to clickbait people or something, because I was like, this can't be real. But it was real, where they said that she's not a good role model because she's not married, she's 34, and she doesn't have children. And that was like the headlines. And I was like, I was so certain, like, this can't be a real article. But it was in a print newspaper overseas, and people were like, really? Because you don't have children at a certain age and you're not married, you can't be a role model for people. And it's exactly like you're saying. You know, there's this very male-dominated ideas, but and it's almost like there's two standards, one for women, one for men. And that's something that we deal with, and especially also in sport and in entertainment, like in so many spaces. So I'm so glad that you brought that up, actually.
No, I think we face kind of the same thing. We get such funny questions about, does it not hurt when you tackle? And then I'm like, do you ask the men these questions? Do you ask them whether it hurts when someone falls on them? Because I'm sure, yes, maybe it hurts every second time. Maybe it also hurts them every second time. But like, do we get the same kind of questions, if you know what I mean? And the same, I also read this article about one of the English Premier Division rugby female players said that, like, we don't go back to the locker room and we pop a beer and we take photos with our beer and say we win a championship. You won't see us, like, photos of champagne in the locker room. And then she was like, she actually sat down and wondered, why don't we do that? Why do we see the men's championship teams do this? Or even just after a game, you can see so many photos of them cracking a beer, just having a time together. But like, you will never find that of a female team. And like, that's brought up so many questions for myself as well. Like, why don't we do that? Is it because, like, we're females? Are we scared people view us differently? So yeah, there's definitely, like, it's difficult being in a male dominant profession, but I think day by day we're breaking boundaries and we're breaking through walls that we never thought would be possible. So that's the silver lining of it all.
And it's so true, actually. And you know, to I would just think to myself, sometimes we see, like you said, you know, the guys cracking beers, but also standing around in their underwear, you know, and kind of thinking, like, what kind of response would people have if female athletes did the same thing? You know, can you imagine? I mean, it would literally be pandemonium and like all sorts of headlines the following day when women win like some World Cup and then just decide they're going to stand around in their underwear and cracking like beers and trying to like get like the princess of Spain, whatever, drinking with them or something. Can you imagine? No, this is a very interesting conversation that we're having now. And it's one that we have to have as well. And you know what? For those who don't know who Rumandi is, well, I have to tell you though that she is just incredible because she did start playing rugby with Tuks Women's Sevens, and she toured Dubai and France with them, also won the first and only Varsity Cup Sevens, oh yeah, and the USSAs with them. And then she started playing 15s with the Blue Bulls Union, which we're going to talk about as well. And she's currently in her fourth season now with the Bulls Daisies. And she's also made her debut in 2021 for the Springbok 15s women. And that was the same year that she started playing 15s. And she also did play in the Women's Rugby World Cup back in 2022. And she's also really phenomenal because she made this jump from playing netball, which she really loved as well. And she played for Tuks, and she was part of the team that won the first ever Varsity Cup. How cool is that? And she's finishing her master's degree in international law. So you never know, Rumandi might be president. Rumandi for president one day, international law. She knows what she's doing and knows how to navigate this world. And Rumandi, how was it? You know, I'm sure you've been asked this before, but making that jump from netball is an amazing sport. You know, and I played netball. Obviously, the Netball World Cup, I think, stirred so much more interest in the sport in South Africa last year. But how was it making that jump from netball to rugby? It is quite a different sport, you know, and it's just different. But it is a team sport still. But how was it making that jump? Did you feel like, okay, it was pretty easy and you had good support and good coaches? Or was it like, did it take some time to get used to?
It was definitely scary. Like, I always make this joke, and I'm tired of this joke, so I don't even want to know how people feel, but like, netball has this rule of no contact, and then I jumped right into a sport where it's only contact, like, consistently. But I mean, at that level of netball, it gets quite physical. So like, it prepares you for a lot, physically, and I mean, the body is conditioned, maybe just not conditioned for rugby, but it's conditioned at least. So I guess physically it was a easy jump, but it was just that it is quite a mental shift that you have to make from going from no contact to literally throwing your body at people and having them throwing their bodies at you. But once that's made, I think it was a good introduction going into sevens first, because there's less bodies. And it's not as physical as 15s. There's more space to run into. It's more one-on-one tackles. Whereas going into 15s, you can get tackled by three people, and there's not a lot of space to work with. So I'm very glad that I had the opportunity to do sevens first before going into 15s. But it was quite a jump. But I think the team environment really made it worth it. I think if it wasn't for amazing teammates and a good, healthy environment, I maybe would have quit in the first week of it.
I love that you say about netball, you know, with not being a contact sport and then rugby being a contact sport. But like you said, sometimes there is contact on the net, there is contact on that netball court. It's kind of like, especially, yeah, when people aren't looking, like there's elbows and there's things that happen. People listening, don't be fooled. Like it might not be rugby, but it is there. And do you miss like sevens? Like, because I mean, I know that you're focusing on rugby 15s, and I know that being part of the Bulls Daisies is amazing, which we're also going to talk about, because the team is amazing and the professionalization has started there with the Daisies. And do you miss playing sevens? Like like you said, it is an amazing game to watch as well, I must say, because it's really fast. I love watching when the HSBC sevens come, like in December to Cape Town. It's so phenomenal to watch sevens like in front of you. We don't get to watch sevens all that often. And now obviously with the Olympics, we're going to be watching again, but on TV. Do you miss that game? Because it is rugby, but it's different.
Oh, definitely. I think the thing I love the most about sevens is like how technical it is. Like, you can't just be a good passer. You also have to be a good tackler. You need to be able to kick field high balls. Like, you have to be an all-round rugby player to be able to be good in sevens. And I love the challenge that sets. I do miss sevens a lot, I have to say. But I think where I'm at in my career now, maybe I won't make it back to sevens, but I would love playing like a friendly year there, because I just love the game. I love the energy and the vibe that also comes with the game. And yeah, how technical it is, it's physical, it's everything you love about rugby in 14 minutes. That's so amazing.
Yeah, I agree with you. It is, you can just see the technicality across it, you know, across the teams. There's just such an energy as well. It's a different game. I really do enjoy sevens, I must say. And it is probably, it's thrilling to watch, but it's also so cool probably to be in the team playing it. And I find that even people who play sevens, like the captains, the players, are actually really amazing human beings. I don't know. Sevens is just different. So we're going to move on from sevens. clearly you and I are fans of sevens, but the 15s. Okay, so I want to talk to you about the Bulls Daisies, because last season I caught up with Libby and we were talking about the professionalization, which is something I know that is, it's still, you know, something that has to get down into the women's premier division. So with the Daisies, of course, that standard was set, and it was so amazing to see what can be accomplished when you professionalize a women's rugby team here in South Africa. I mean, the Daisies have been doing amazing. You ladies have been doing amazing this season. It has been quite cool to watch as well, because I must say Western Province have come up quite a bit, and they've been giving you ladies a bit of a I'd love to see that there's been some challenge. You know, last season was, the Daisies were just, you know, blooming, let's say, over everybody else. How have you found this season to be, you know, just in general? And then when it comes to professionalization, you know, that is still something that we have to work on so hard in this country, especially at the Premier Division level. It's sometimes people don't understand it, even from overseas, like, wow, you know, there's so many teams that are just not getting that payment to play rugby. Like, how is that even possible? So firstly, how has the season been going for you at the Daisies?
Yeah, no, this season has definitely been a journey. I think, like you mentioned, like, we came off such a high last season, and we've lost quite a few players to the Sevens system because it's a very big year for them. That we had to start rebuilding and just lean into some youngsters and build that trust and get that flow again, which is actually amazing, because now we can actually see that the system is not just a system of 15 great players or 35 that's contracted, but there's actually some depth to it. And we were kind of forced into a corner, but I think we did so well getting out of that corner and just giving youngsters opportunity and just building a new team culture. And sometimes tough times forces you to really look deep inside of yourself. And I think we've done that this season. And we're still growing. We're still finding each other, but it's a beautiful process, I'd say. The loss against Vietnam was good, I think. I'd never thought I'd say that, because I love winning and I'm a very sore loser. But I think it was good for the team, and you could really see that it's something we want. We don't want to lose. Like, we're not just here for the payment. We're not just here for a good time. We really want to win this thing again, and we really want to set a platform to show other unions that this is what can happen if you professionalize your system. And this is what can happen if you invest into women's rugby. And I mean, there's so many people investing their time and money into us. We really want to make them proud and show young girls that this is a possibility. This is a career that you can have. And so we take that quite seriously. So I think maybe that bit of a bump just made us realize that again, just made us look at what's happening and just see things differently. So I think that was needed. As much as we hated it, it was good for us. And we're playing them on on Friday, tomorrow again. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens and if it actually worked and if we are where we want to be. I think being the first team that's professional has really put a target on our back. And as much as people think it's like put a lot of pressure on us, we love this pressure. We love knowing that we are the trendsetters and we are the first people to do this. And we know it comes with responsibility and we don't take that lightly. And that's what I love about this group. I really have a passion for this group of girls, because they know what responsibility is resting on our shoulders. And I think we're going to go higher with this thing. I think our dream is not just South Africa, not just IPL. I think we spoke to the CEO, Edgar, and what a lovely man, because it's him that took the risk on us. Like, he was the first and only person, the CEO of the Bulls, that said, this is a risk he's worth taking. Like, he feels it's worth taking. And he spoke to us, and it's like, he said, like, we mustn't just dream to be the best in South Africa. We need to start dreaming international. And that's also opened our eyes and our hearts to bigger dreams and just to work that extra bit harder,
I love that. And it's what we talk about having champions and allies as well, right? Because like you said, I want to take a risk on this. And is it, how do you feel? Of course, like you said, I mean, you ladies are trendsetters and you know that it comes with a responsibility and a pressure, which is a good thing. I think you know, like you said as well, if we turn pressure around, it's just really responsibility to flourish, really, and to show what can be and what is. And you know, to encourage other people to get to that point of going, hey, we can actually professionalize our teams. We should be doing that. Isn't it sad, though, that we're still talking about that? I mean, I know we don't want to, like, be calling anybody out, but it's a case of going, women's rugby in South Africa, where are we at with this? Can we professionalize our Premier Division? I was reading today, which was really cool for me, and I'm really excited about it as someone passionate about sport, that our arts, sport and culture, our new minister visited SARU today. And they say that a sport minister has never visited the headquarters in, like, a democratic South Africa, and has never come and sat down and spoken to them about the challenges that Rugby South Africa is facing. Never. And I was like, what? How is this even a thing? How is it that a sport minister can show up when we're at World Cups or at big wins, but doesn't go and visit and find out what the challenges are? And I mean, one of the things the minister came out saying is that I also went there to find out what's happening with women's rugby specifically, because this is a big thing for me. And I was really encouraged by that. You know, when you I believe that we could be heading towards a change. But the thing is, how do you feel about the fact that we're still talking about this in 2024? We still have, and I think people need to realize that when we're seeing teams play, we have women that are not getting paid to play rugby at this Premier Division level. And they are really putting their bodies, their hearts, their everything on the line. They're playing a game that they love every single time they show up. These are moms. These are career women. These are amazing women powerhouses. And this is what they're doing. And we need to actually realize that they don't have those contracts yet.
No, it's quite frustrating. And it's sad that we still have to talk about this, and that we still need to push for this, and that we still need to beg for this. Because, I mean, if you have seen the growth in the women's sport in, like, let's say 2 years, it's become something worth investing into. It's become something nice to watch. It's become quality rugby, quality sport. Like, put the gender aside, we've been putting out quality performances. Yeah. And that's why it's frustrating, because, like you said, so many of these ladies are doing it purely out of the love for the game. And I wonder if you'd say to a men's team, listen, no more pay, you just need to show up and you just need to get tackled, and you have to run every single day, and you have to do passing in the sun, and just for the love of the game, how many of them will show up? And how many of them will wake up tomorrow morning and go to their 8-to-5 job, and then at 6 show up at training and do it all again for no pay? And, like, these women have been doing it, like, long before my time even, and they keep on doing it just because they love the game, just because they love being in this environment, playing against each other. Like, there's just so much love, and it's sad that it's taken for granted, I feel like. Like, I'm so happy that this minister is actually starting to stand up for bigger things, for more important things, and bringing it to light. He's not just doing it in secret. He's actually speaking up about it. And I really do think and hope he can make a difference. And I hope, actually, when we in Cape Town, August, September, October for the WXV, I hope we can invite him to come watch some matches and come see what we can do when we can do this full time, you know, because a lot of the Bulls Daisies will hopefully be in the Springbok squad, and you will see the quality that the Bulls Daisies bring to a Springbok squad. You can see the quality of rugby that we're playing Saturday in and Saturday out, purely because someone believed in us and someone wanted to take a risk. And I really pray and hope that we can be the example of what can happen if someone wants to take a risk or just wants to invest, because I think it's a long-term investment, and people these days are quite scared to make long-term investments. They want instant gratification. Women's sport is a long-term investment, and I hope people start to see that. Hopefully, after World Cup, it's sad that we have this chat before World Cup. I would have hoped that more unions would be professional now before World Cup. That would have given us a bit of more energy going into a World Cup. But hopefully, if we perform well at World Cup next year, hopefully people start to see the worth in women's sport.
Ramandi, you have such a powerful voice and on this truth and on this reality. And I think that your voice can move people to, because even me listening to you, your voice can move people to realize and to feel an emotion connected to this and to realize that a lot of people have been speaking about this for a long time, but it is a reality. And you have such a strong voice on this, and I really want to honor that. And I really hope and pray as well that Minister Gayton McKenzie, Sport, Art and Culture, we're inviting you now to come out, come on out. I mean, I love, by the way, like, because I was there last year, but I love watching the WXV. I mean, it's so cool. And I mean, this is going to be in Cape Town. So come on, Minister, we're inviting you out. Ramandi is inviting you to come there, meet the team, see what is happening. It's going to be phenomenal. And we need, though, you to see this so that you can realize what is happening. And I agree with you, Ramandi, that when you watch the team play, the Bulls Daisies players bring something phenomenal. And that's not to say that no one else does, but the players do bring something phenomenal to the Springbok team, to the ladies. I mean, it is, you know, it's amazing to watch that. And talking about the WXV, I love that WXV. Okay, so obviously for those who don't know, it's the women's 15. And it's really a revolution, really, because it's trying to create this pathway so that all unions around the world can compete against each other and have a space in the World Cup that's next year. So the WXV2 is kicking off, no pun intended, but it is kicking off in September, and we're very excited about it. And I love watching it. So Athlone Stadium, DHL Stadium in Cape Town, of course, is going to be happening in Dubai if you're out there as well. Ramandi, how do you enjoy this tournament? Did you enjoy it last year? Are you looking forward to it this year? Because it's really cool, the matchups and the clashes. And then also see you ladies get to interact with the crowd a bit. And there's a lot of kids that come, which is really cool because you see like young people really enjoying it. How do you feel about this tournament?
Oh man, yeah, last year I could already tell that it's going to be a special time just by the build up to it. We had two test matches as warm up test matches to get ready for WXV, and there were so many young girls coming out to watch us play. It was probably one of the most special times in my career, was the build up as well as the WXV tournament. You just felt the love, you just felt important, you just felt like finally we making a difference in younger ladies' life. You know, they can see us and they can aspire to be this one day, and they can see that there's a career in rugby, and they can see how much we enjoy doing this. And it was so special when we played our warm-up test match against Kenya. Our coach actually told the security to please let the crowd come into the stadium and interact with us, and we were there like for an hour after the game, and I really didn't even want to leave. I just wanted to stay there and just interact with them and just see the passion that they have for the game. And that was so special. And then leading into WXV, they just kept showing up for us. And that was so special. I really think that that was the driving force behind us and behind staying motivated. Even when we had quite a tough test against Scotland and Italy, where we felt we could have won it, but we didn't. They just kept showing up. And at the end, when we played against Samoa, when we sang the national anthem, it literally felt like every single one of them were hugging us. That's how loud they were singing at the back. And those are the moments that really stands out in our career. And that's what WXV has allowed for us, because it's home, you know, it's in Cape Town. And I don't know when we will ever get that opportunity again of playing like in our backyard, and having so many girls come out and see what rugby is about and what women's rugby is about and how powerful a woman's body can be at a very big stage. So no, that was absolutely special. And I'm so excited for this year's WXV, whether I'll be in the team or whether I'll be in the stands, it doesn't even matter. It's really a special occasion having it in South Africa and having the top teams coming to South Africa, experiencing South Africa and seeing that we're really a country that loves rugby, and hopefully we can become a country that loves women's rugby soon.
Amen. Amen to that. Let's I agree with you so much. The WXV last year, it was phenomenal. And it was, I remember coming on a very cold day to Athlone Stadium when you guys played Samoa. Yeah. I don't know if you remember, it was really cold that day. I just remember it being really cold because I was standing on the side by the field. I wasn't even in the media section. I was standing by the side because I just wanted to be close to all of you. And I was breathing, but it was so phenomenal to watch and just also getting to interact with the Samoan team afterwards as well. What they shared and said. I shared a video of the captain speaking and how she was saying that even their media in their own country pay no attention to them, and they don't even get paid as the Samoan national women's team to play rugby. Yeah. They have to crowdfund, they have to raise money. She was in tears because they are putting their everything out there. And it was very intense, moving, real conversation. And these are the conversations we need to have about rugby. And I agree with you. There were so many young girls and there were so many fans, and we're going to do it all over again this year, but we're going to do it bigger. We want to invite more people because you might have a chance to catch some of Libby's shoes that she throws off into the ground. I happened to be standing there when she did that. I was, I know that she likes to do that, but I was like, didn't get my camera quick enough because these girls were like, oh man, it reminded me, I think you guys all have to just have an extra pair of shoes like in your back pocket somewhere. Just throw them out. These girls get so amped.
Definitely. We try and share everything. Like in African Cup, I walked off the field with like only hot pants and like barely anything else. And coach gave me a very weird look. And I said, coach, you said I must leave everything out on the field. And I really did. So we try and give everything that we can. But maybe let's see if we can fill up a stadium by the last game. You don't know. Maybe you'll get everything from every single player. Yeah. You need to get your camera ready for that one.
I will. Tell me where you guys are going to be about, and then I will be there because it's so beautiful. But it's just to witness, you know, it's not only girls that are there. It's like boys as well. And they're so excited. And to just see, I mean, it's really cool. And so obviously we are going on about the WXV2 that's happening. But of course, we are also kicking it off South Africa against Japan on Friday, the 27th of September. Let's just wake up like in September sometime. You know, let's just go to bed now, wake up for WXV. That would be really cool. And this one is kicking off at the DHL Stadium. Rumandi, don't we want to fill that stadium? I mean, come on, it's the home of rugby. We got to fill it. We're going to fill it.
That would be absolutely amazing. I mean, Cape Town loves rugby, and we've seen what the Stormers has done for Cape Town and how they speak about making Cape Town smile again. So hopefully Cape Town can make us smile a bit and just get as many voices as we possibly can and just get loud, man. It'll be absolutely amazing to just feel the support. I don't know whether people in the crowd actually knows, but you can feel the presence of every single one of them on that field. You just feel unstoppable when a stadium's packed like that.
That's amazing. I think it's something that people need to hear because sometimes they think that they're just there because they love the sport and they're just coming to watch. But do you feel their presence? You know, do you feel their love and their energy, you know, and just how you kind of like being whirled on by the people watching you. So that is super cool. And like I said, of course, that kicks off on Friday, the 27th of September. Please diarize it like right now. And it's going to be really exciting at DHL Stadium. And the kickoff is at 4. So leave work a little bit early. This is Cape Town. We leave work early on Fridays anyway. No one goes to work on Friday anyway. So we can be there. And then obviously the next week, Saturday, South Africa is going to take on Australia on the 5th of October at the Athlone Stadium. And then after that, it's Italy again, you know, at the Athlone Stadium. So wow. Lots of cool things going to be happening. I'm so super excited. And Rumandi, you know what, being with you, spending some time with you today has been such a blessing to me. Thank you so much for who you are, your energy, your passion around this sport and also around, you know, not only just rugby, but around the issues that we have to talk about and the realities that we need to have honest conversations about. So I'm super excited to see you in Cape Town when you come for WXV. And thank you so much for being with me today. It's been super cool.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Lauren. And thank you for everything that you do for women in sport and for supporting us and loving sport so much and just getting our voices out there. It really means a lot. And it's so lovely talking to you. And I hope to see you in Cape Town soon.
Oh, thank you so much. We will see each other in Cape Town soon, and we will be with the minister. We will be telling the minister. I'll be like, this is Rumandi. And
yes.
Rumandi is going to be telling you why you need to be doing this. We believe it.
Thank you, Lauren, and good luck with that weather that side.
Oh, thank you.
You've been listening to the She Speaks Sport podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast app like Apple, Google, Castbox, and Spotify. Subscribe and like to stay updated on all new episodes. Thanks for listening.